The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Monday, August 2nd, and we got a lot to talk about, but you already know we're talking about Russ to the Lakers because we're very excited. Yeah. We're very excited about it. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody, all the gun.
With Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
How you doing, bubbas?
And I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. And let's talk about it. This is a Wii U episode released at the normal time. That's what this is.
Yeah.
It's an emergency pod that's arriving under normal traffic conditions. Tyler, how excited are we about Russ to the Lakers on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, I'm at a 10, bro. Russ is one of my favorite players in the league, so I fucking love this. Of course, you know, there was, you know, the Twitter backlash of how this wasn't a good move for the Lakers, but this is the question that, you know, I want those who are opposed to this trade to honestly answer for me. Do you truly believe that the Lakers didn't get better by acquiring Russell Westbrook for fucking Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, and KCP? Do you truly believe this team did not get better by adding a third first ballot Hall of Famer to go along with the two they've already got? And if you do believe this team got worse, I just want to hear why. And, you know, if your concerns here are spacing and shooting, bro, okay, shooting is a legit concern. They probably lost their best, you know, three-point shooter with KCP, but there's plenty of guys out there they can get to fit that role for way cheaper. JJ's out there. Angles is out there. Wayne Ellington said he wants to come aboard. They're saying Melo wants in too. That's a fix that can be made, and it can be made for way cheaper than what they were paying KCP. But I definitely don't want to hear that spacing shit, bro. These aren't like, you know, a bunch of fucking 24-year-olds wilding out there trying to get theirs and get these max contracts. These are some seasoned vets who figure that shit out. So, you know, I couldn't imagine them passing on Russell Westbrook for fucking spacing concerns. They'll figure that shit out.
One thing I think is like, I'm here for Russell Westbrook. I'm here for AD and Bron. I think it'll be fun as fuck. And that's literally all I give a fuck about.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not my job to figure out how to make it work. It's their fucking job. So, you know what I mean? I'm here for the fun, you know what I mean? To see what happens. But, I mean, to me, like, taking the ball out of the best decision maker's hands, you know what I mean, that maybe we've ever seen, that's a thing I wonder. You know what I mean? Because, you know, Westbrook needs the ball a lot to be effective. You know what I'm saying? So I wonder, I mean, I'm at the point where I'm like, we'll see. You know what I mean? I'm going to have fun watching it. I have zero fucking expectations. I mean, but I think if you put AD, Westbrook, and Bron together, that should equal Chip. You know what I mean? Like, that should equal Chip. I think it could be fun. I don't know how it's going to work, but I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's going to be fun. That's all that matters.
I think something it would be fun for basketball fans to agree on is it's not our job to figure out how it's going to work.
Right.
It's our job to be excited about the basketball team that we root for.
Yes.
And as has been pointed out many times, you don't trust LeBron James. This is who he and AD were targeting. You think LeBron wasn't thinking about the way it was going to mesh together on the court? Like,
LeBron James made J.R. Smith a fucking title
basketball player, right?
Rotation player, right? Come on, man.
Right. Yeah.
Talk to me about the fit when Russell Westbrook is wearing the blue Lakers Crenshaw jersey. Tell me if that fucking fits, okay?
Nigga, it fits like the Spider-Man suit, nigga. That motherfucker's going to be – he was made for that fucking jersey. You fucking kidding me?
That shit's going to climb on him like the symbiote, bro.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, dog, I think, like, it's – I mean, I don't see how you're not happy about Westbrook coming home, too. You know what I mean? Like, Westbrook in fucking L.A.? Like, come on, man. I mean, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I think we can't deny that part.
I think a critical aspect of the whole spacing conversation, and first of all, this to me is really where analytics, quote unquote, ruins basketball, is the way that people feel like they have to be GMs or coaches in the way that they're watching the game. Like, you literally don't have to do that. like nothing is requiring you to do that. You could just be excited about what is obviously a move that LeBron James and Anthony Davis, as well as the Lakers front office, were thought was going to help them get better. And to Tyler's point, even if you do want to go into the, oh, I have to think about every aspect of, like, Giannis is a perfect example. You don't have to think about Giannis as a three-point shooter, bro. You could just watch Giannis and think this is fucking cool, right? It's the same thing with this Russ move. And to Tyler's point, though, even if you are thinking about this from a quote-unquote analytics perspective, you think KCP's three-point shooting is not a replaceable asset?
Exactly.
Like, who's this as well? Like, you know, they didn't lose anybody. Yeah.
To get Russell
guy and got the fucking triple-double king. You know what right. I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't make sense as far as like being mad that you lost those people. But I mean, if you're looking at it, the way Bron has played basketball his entire career, you know what I mean? And been successful, you know, this is not the way you're playing the fucking four. So yeah, I mean, there's questions there. I get that. But I don't see how you see those three and don't sign up. You know what I mean? When you lost Kuz, who we've been waiting to be the guy, you know what I'm saying? We wanted him to be Robin. He wasn't that. We wanted him to be like the person after Robin. That nigga wasn't that nigga. You know what I mean? Like, and we like, you know, we lost Shooting.
Alfred. And then couldn't even be Alfred out this motherfucker. Right? Right?
We lost Ace the Bat Hound, y'all. Like, it's okay.
Thank God we got rid of that nigga. I don't have to worry about him no more. And best of luck to him, though, too. I hope he does good, gets the space he needs in order to be himself and all of that shit. I do hope that. But, yeah, I didn't need him in a Lakers jersey. You know what I mean? So,
yeah
I mean.
I'm relieved. I'm relieved that I don't need to be stressed about the potential of Kyle Kuzma anymore, to be completely honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Keep it a stat, I like KCP more than Kyle as far as, like, in a Lakers jersey. Like, you know what I mean? That he played solid ass D, and in big moments he hit big shots, at least in 2020.
Yeah,
you
know, third best player on that team in that 2020 postseason.
Right. So I'm not really tripping off that.
This is why I'm also a bit optimistic that this will work out. You know, yes, Russ is a flawed player, one of my favorite players in the league, but he definitely has his flaws. But Russ's flaws, they never really came from a place of just like flat out not knowing basketball, right? Like, we don't see Russ on Shaq and a Fool and shit. Russ's flaws, they always emanated from a place of him being like too overconfident or too impatient. You know, I truly believe that Russ has felt he's been the best player on every team he's been on. And I don't think he's that full of himself to think the same thing now. You know, I think when shit hits the fan, Russ always felt like he was the guy who had to make a play. You know, he was the guy who was best suited to carry his teams. And I don't think he thinks that with Bron and AD there now. You know, like I said, Russ isn't a dumb basketball player. He's an overconfident player. He's an impatient player. And you can fix that. You know, that's something you can fix. You usually can't fix stupid, you know, but you can fix overconfident and impatient. And I think we'll see a Russ who gets in where he fits in on this team and isn't out there wilding.
And maybe you can't fix it, but that's what that part of it is going to be fun to me. But it's exactly what you just said. Like, I don't think Russ was wrong in thinking that the game meant more to him than it meant to James Harden. Yeah. Or maybe even that it meant more to him than it meant to Kevin Durant when they were all in Oklahoma City, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah. Bron throwing any towels at Bron.
But if he's thinking he's the best player on a team with Kevin Durant at any point in his fucking career.
he was the best player in that last playoff series that they played against the Warriors. Let's be real.
That's
in 2016 Western Conference Finals. He was the best OKC player on that.
Okay. On yes. That okay. I'll give you that. But like, I don't think it's just that. I think it's just his mentality. I think he gets the ball. There needs to be a play. I think, pew, he just sees the rim and, you know what I mean? And he thinks he has the ability. I don't even know if he's going to think about Bron or fucking AD in that moment when he sees a butt naked rim or something, you know what I mean? Or like he sees an opportunity to get to the cup and get a bucket. He might not get that bucket, but I think he just has that confidence in himself. So I hope that isn't an issue. I doubt it will be. Because they'll probably be up 15 most games they play in those moments, in the waning moments. So I'm not tripping about it.
What you just said to me is the best thing about the fit. They need a dude who's really good, who's not thinking about fucking Bron.
Yeah, yeah.
They and, need
and,
that.
They needed a person that could go get a bucket too, and Bronson on the court as well. And that's what we got that. And you know,
and it wasn't Kyle Kuzma. You know what I'm saying?
No, it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't like, Kuz. We could have counted on Kuz every time to get that 25, 30. You know, when somebody was having a bad game. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean that
count on Westbrook to do that.
That's a criticism we've had of these Bron Laker teams when it's just Bron out there and AD's out there. Everyone's just looking at Bron like, hey, do something. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, yes. and Russ is not going to be that guy. So that's going to be an attribute here.
Not at all. So,
yeah.
I think the other thing I want to get into the conversation, there was some great reporting by the LA Times on the conversation between Russ and Bron and AD. Now, in my head, as soon as I saw they traded for Russ, I projected this conversation as having existed. So the reporting only confirmed it for me. But what they talked about was, Tyler alluded to it earlier, this is not a great draft class where you happen to throw these three dudes together. This is three dudes at a particular point in their career for whom nothing except winning a championship means anything. And they understand that. Right. And that's why the conversation apparently was, hey, Russ, you're going to play the one. Bron saying, and John, I think some of this has to go to Bron tapping that gas pedal last year post-injury. Mm-hmm. And Bron saying, okay, the time has come for me to do what Kobe did late in his career, what a lot of players have done, and make the adjustment. So Bron saying, I'm going to play the four, and AD saying, I'm going to play the five. These dudes are smart enough to know that if they make that adjustment and they're healthy, that's it. You know what I mean? Like that. If you throw whoever the fuck you want, it's 2 and 3, bro.
When has AD been at the five and not fucking mutilated whoever
right.
was attempting to guard this man, you know, unsuccessfully? Like, you know what I mean? I think that part will be fun as hell. You know what I mean? AD, like, not relying on that 15-footer, you know what I mean, that wasn't there as much last year. And just doing what his, you know, his body is capable of. I'm excited to see that shit. I'm interested in seeing Bron at the four. I'm interested in seeing that. You know what I mean?
And you know, he's still gonna handle the ball.
I think it may be somewhat like with Wade, where it was like, this is your team, but Bron still did Bron things and they figured it out that way. They'll find a way for Bron to still be Bron. You know what I mean? Everybody sees the benefit of that. So that won't be too weird. But yeah, he won't be Karl Malone in there. You know what I mean? Running to a spot and posting up.
He's gonna be very Chris Bosh with it, you know,
right, you roaming feel that me? Damn. Yeah, very fluid yeah. with it. You know what I mean? So
I think the other aspect, you know, we talked about Bron and AD. I think the other aspect for Russ I'm really fascinated by is he is one of the most interesting and complex basketball players to me, in that everything that's happening in his head plays out physically on the floor. Like, you can see the tensions and what he's thinking about. And I think he's making this move because to him, he understands that winning a championship with the Lakers, what else are you ever going to say about that dude's career? He has all the statistical shit right. you want. And if he could be a part of a moment like that in Southern California, that's a national moment. I think he understands that. And so I think we're going to see this season, the tension between this is what I want to do in the moment that I know how to do. This is what I've been doing my entire career, straight to the rim, playing out against the tension of the only thing I care about left in my career is winning a championship with the late. Like, that's going to be a really interesting short-term versus long-term reward. But I just trust that at this point in his life and his career, it's the right time for him to be making that move.
Who are the other people you said are willing to sign up to try to get on this squad?
DeMar said he'd take a fat pay cut.
You said
DeMar said he'd come for anything, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
DeMar wants in, Wayne Ellington wants in, Melo wants in. And it's interesting, right? Because I knew that this was going to be an arm race for veterans who are, you know, trying to get a ring between the Lakers and the Nets. And it feels like everyone's leaning the Lakers way. And, you know, I kind of get it.
Ain't nobody wants to go to the Nets, bro.
Right, like, bro, like KD, Harden, and Kyrie, those are some different dudes, bro. You know, that's a working environment that's not going to be, you know, quite as fun, and you know, or you know, it's going to be a bit more weird than playing with Bron and AD and Russ. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm definitely interested in how the veterans arm race, everyone's kind of leaning towards the Lakers, but they're saying that Pelinka is still trying to get a third team in to get that healed. That Buddy.
That's what I'm excited about. I love Buddy. Can pull that off. I love Buddy. I've loved Buddy for a long time. I think he's been solid. He's just been ducked off.
Shooting 40% from three on 10 attempts a game. What the fuck?
That wasting away. Done since Oklahoma, bro. Sitting in fucking Sacramento. Right. So I would love to see Buddy under them lights, baby. You know what I mean? With that, you know what I'm saying? With that purple and gold, that'd be fun as hell.
So I was going to ask both of you, give me a best case scenario for how the next, you know, couple weeks plays out. You both want Buddy. I want, obviously, I mean, fuck.
Yeah.
He turned Schroeder into Buddy. Like, sounds good to
that
me.
That man, the fuck out of my face forever. You know what I mean?
But what is the
of all the
names we've mentioned, what would an ideal Lakers lineup look like to you? Like, what are you hoping happens the next couple of weeks?
Go ahead.
Of course, Buddy would be great. I want Melo to come on board too, just for no other reason that I'm a big fucking Melo fan and a big fucking Banana Boat fan. Yep. So yep. I would like for that to happen. I trust Pelinka to fill this roster out. I'll say that much. He's been fucking nailing it ever since he got Bron over there. So, you know, I have all the trust in Pelinka right about now.
I want Melo for the exact same reasons. I just like him. I want him to get a fucking chip. You know what I mean? Throw him in there, bro. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's the only person I'd really, 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 really trip off getting in. You know, maybe he doesn't get as much burn. I don't know. But, I mean, seeing him, you know, get a couple, like, moments in the playoffs, that'd be fun as hell.
I want DeMar after Buddy, who I think is at the top of all of us. I want DeMar for the same reasons you guys just talked about Melo. I mean, DeMar DeRozan come home. I mean, I've talked about this on the podcast before. This dude still is at Compton High School in the offseason. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In a gym that he paid to renovate for the kids at Compton High School, and hosts a little tournament there that he wants no publicity for. That he asked for people to not, you know, blow up as a favor. That dude getting to come home to Southern California and win a championship with the Lakers. Like, if I'm picturing a world, you know, 10 months from now where Bron, AD, Russ, and DeMar are holding up a Larry O'Brien in the golds, I will be sobbing if that shit happens.
And DeMar had a hell of a year last year. He was solid. You know what I mean? Like, DeMar is still playing great, great basketball. We can get DeMar. Like, I mean, Melo is obviously, like, you know, he's a shell of himself.
That's an emotional play.
That's an emotional decision. DeMar, that's a basketball decision. You know what I mean?
And he's saying, get me there. Right, I'll do whatever I need to get there, because he's picturing the same shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he's another dude who he's at a place in his career where I don't think there's any. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. People are people, egos are egos, and there's some big dogs on that team, right? But DeMar is another dude like Russ, where I just see him being like, I just want the ring. I will do whatever I need to do to get the ring in a fucking Lakers jersey.
I think AD and Bron are two of them. There's not guys that good that have less of an ego out of them. You know what I'm saying? That's how I see it. You feel me? Westbrook feels a particular way, but when he's in a place where he just wants a fucking chip, that's a Westbrook you want. You know what I'm saying? And then, DeMar, he has like zero ego. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that will be an issue. We were wondering about personalities with the Nets. I don't think personality fits will be, you know, a problem at all with the Lakers. You know what I mean? It's just like, the X's and O's getting it done. But also, you can say fuck the X's and O's a lot when you got all those dudes on the fucking team. Give somebody the ball and let them play, do what the fuck they feel. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you have that deep of a fucking lineup, I mean, so.
It's and good if they're playing defense the way they've played defense the entire time they've been together with Frank Vogel in L.A., it's just about health. I mean, it's just entirely about health. The last thing I want to mention, since the spacing fucking geeks, I'll never recover from it. It's late July.
Were they really mad? The team just
signed a legendary basketball player from Southern California. And people are getting on Twitter saying, what about the fucking spacing? Fucking dorks. But for everyone who's talking about the spacing, you ever heard of a fucking pick and roll? Do you watch the NBA? Pick and roll is a fairly frequently used move. You want to think about Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis in the fucking pick and roll? What's the defense for that, bro?
I mean, you just die, bro. That's what happens. You pass out fake injury.
Your defense is you hope you have Giannis. Like, you know what I mean? It's just that's a personnel limitation on almost every team to try and stop a Russ AD pick and roll. You just fucking hit that play over and over and over again. And fucking JJ Redick, whoever it is standing over there butt naked because you're going to need three dudes to defend it. Like, this trade happened while I was on vacation. And I was just like sitting in a park in San Francisco and I just lay on my back and I looked up at the sky and I was just like, yes. And I opened Twitter and the first thing I saw was someone complaining about the spacing. And I was like, you're choosing to live this way.
That is a choice. Yeah. That is a choice. That is definitely a choice.
And
worrying about all the shit that can go wrong instead of how fun some shit can be. That's just not a way to live, bro. You know, sports aside, just think about all the good shit that can happen. And if the good shit doesn't happen, then
right, then we'll like be mad on a podcast in 9 months. But like, you know what I mean? Like, this right. is not the time to do that. I do want to point out that the Dodgers on this same day made a similar trade, brought in Max Scherzer, Trey Turner. They got much better, also at the expense of the Washington sports team. So shout out to our producer, Adam Gracia.
Congratulations, Adam.
He's a big Wizards.
Enjoy the projects.
Really excited. We might have to make a regular Dodgers segment for when Scherzer pitches just to talk about how much better LA got from
Washington. I watch baseball to make fun of Adam. Let's do that. That'll be fun. As dry as he is, he's flaming my ass and shit. Let's do that. Let's lean in.
We just got tickets to in August. They're doing a Lakers Dodgers night at Dodgers Stadium where they're giving out Dodgers jerseys and Laker colors to commemorate both teams winning the championship last year. And I was like, I would literally just go and pick the jersey up if our family doesn't feel like watching the game.
Hell yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the Booger Boy of the Week. A lot of candidates as always, but to me, the nuggetiest of boogers out there was the dude who chose to, in the dark at an Usher concert, run up on LeBron James to try and get a picture of him as he was walking with his wife. This dude tried to like surprise run up on him. Bron turned and two hand shoved that man into the eighth row.
Send me that. I did not see that. When did this happen? Was this yesterday it went viral?
Shit, I don't know.
Yesterday
is when it went.
Yeah, I didn't see that shit. Send me that shit.
I'm gonna send it to you right now, Tyler. How happy were you about this video?
I loved it. Like, bro. First of all, you know, y'all know I'm a big fucking Bron guy. There are situations where if I saw him, I would not approach him. And a fucking concert when he's with his wife is one of them. You know what I mean? First of all, you don't fucking run up on people, bro. Like he tried to sideswipe him too. You know, it's your instinct. If you see something speeding at you at your peripheral, you know, your fucking survival instinct kicks in anyway, especially if you're with your wife, right? So he gave that motherfucker the yee. And the funniest shit about it was You Got It Bad. Usher was performing You Got It Bad during the whole shit, which was like perfect. You getting stiff-armed by your idol to You Got It Bad. That's fucking hilarious.
You had it terrible.
Did he think he was his friend? I'm watching. Do you think this nigga knows you? You are a stranger, bro. You know him. I'm watching this shit. The nigga, like, it wasn't even it was so instinctual. It was like, bitch. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Oh my God. That is beautiful. The form was incredible, too. The form was incredible, too.
We've always speculated about how good of a tight end LeBron would be in. That right there.
I actually see it as more of a basketball move, and I was going to ask you guys, did he bounce pass or chest pass that man?
That was definitely a Chuck Don Cheadle with the goddamn. I know that motherfucker.
He threw that man right into fucking Russell Westbrook shooting pocket. Just
how does your soul feel in that moment when you're running up excited like you're seeing an old friend, and that nigga's like, "Bitch, hey, I don't like, know you." Get him with the hood,
motherfucker. Like. And then everyone seeing that is like, yeah, right, you with the dickhead here, bro. Like, you know, right? Like, no one's mad at Bron.
Calmly walked off, and the face he was like, what? Like, confused. Calmly walks off with his wife. Like, he didn't just shove that man's soul. You know what I mean? Like, that's great.
It was one of the Doctor Strange punches where, like, the soul went flying out of the back of his body in slow motion. You know what I mean?
He's taking for himself. He's taking up for himself right now, like, under a fake account for sure.
He probably, you know what I mean? Nah, he probably by the time he hit the ground was thinking, oh, yeah, huh? You know what I mean?
I think he's, I hate LeBron 7346 on Twitter now, bro. I don't think these people are self-aware enough to realize
that's his villain how origin stupid story.
He fucking was. You know what I mean? Like, for you to do that in the first place, like, if I'm standing beside LeBron, I'm thinking first. You know what I mean? Do I want to do this? You know what I mean? Like, this motherfucker's in a concert. Like, bro.
Well, and you can see he's leaving. You know what I mean? He's moving somewhere. And the dude probably has been thinking, I want to go say what's up to LeBron. And he was just like, this is my moment. He's getting away.
Bro, he looked like he ran up. Like, his phone was all like, the form just didn't make sense. It doesn't add up to thinking prior. You know what I mean?
We need to see the footage from his perspective because I know he was recording that shit the whole time. I want to see the fucking the impact camera from LeBron.
It's an Olympic NBC production. Bro. Like, it's probably moving. Like, it probably goes into slow motion when it flies out of his hand.
Oh man!
Don't run up on anyone, but especially not celebrities. No. And especially not celebrities who, like, as people used to say about Suge Knight in Southern California, he is his security, bro. Like, you know what I mean? He has security with him, but, like, that man could throw you like a javelin.
Yeah. Y'all remember when that dude ran up on Bron at MSG and just dapped him up, and they asked Bron if he was scared, and Bron was like, come on, bro, I'm 6'8", 250. Y'all remember that? Yeah. Like, he's his own security,
he ain't been scared,
bro,
since third grade, nigga. You know, man. Fuck you thought. Yeah, man. That's fine. I love a bitch you thought moment. I love seeing that. You know what I mean? When
that is your aesthetic.
People need those. People need those. I mean, man. I love a you got out. They of, need you know, those. Now you realize what time it is. You know what I mean? And it was a fun one, and it wasn't, you know, wasn't a real, you know.
Nobody hurt. You know. I mean, it's just
exactly. It's just a little fun on the internet. Bitch, you thought. Now you know, though.
Yeah.
No more thinking. Yeah, needed, now you know. You know what I mean,
it's a life lesson learned. Because I mean, I hope he doesn't run up on like some of his favorite rappers like that, nigga. You might get clapped.
You know what I'm saying? Tim to face,
right? Like,
you know, them big ass Balenciagas gonna be beating the fuck your face up, nigga.
like you run up on Freddie Gibbs like that, nigga. Like, hey, it might go way worse for you.
Listen, the way, like, covering sports in Long Beach, you run into a healthy contingent of rappers in the course of a calendar year, and I would tell this guy, there's a protocol. You look at the outer ring of security. And you ask if it's cool. And then you look at the inner ring of security and ask if it's cool. And then I'm talking, if this is someone you know, you know what I mean? Like, much less someone you don't know. And then as you're going to say hi to the person, you ask the inner ring of security again. You know what I mean? Like, these dudes are, I mean, I can't even imagine the security, bro. He might have had snipers in the fucking concert. You know what I mean? Like,
if you're a LeBron, like, we're all LeBron fans. You know what I mean? Like, if you see LeBron, are you pulling your phone out?
Never.
I'm just not. I mean, I'm questioning whether I'm gonna say anything. I don't think I'd even want to.
If it's a meet and greet, if I'm there with Vincent at a Space Jam 2 meet and greet. You know what I'm saying? But if I'm at Nobu and Bron and AD walk in,
bro,
never.
Yeah, never. I just be, I might tweet about it. These niggas really fucking double doubles in this motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, but I'm not going to be like, yo, Bron, I love you. I'm not, you know what I mean?
What's to be gained from that?
Nothing. pull out my phone, and that's weird to me. Like, it's just, bro, what they're doing is none of my business. That's how I think. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's cool to see them, but I just, the people that pull their phones out and like, what were you planning on doing in that moment you thought was cool? You know what I mean? Like,
here's a blurry picture of Bron walking. You know what I mean?
I saw Bron at the Usher concert. Great. You know what I mean? 44 views on Twitter. You did it. You know what I mean? You're ignored in your group chat. You know what I mean? Still ignored in the group chat, bro.
You got one thumbs up. You got one. Your nice friend liked the text.
Everybody else is like, come on, man. I just don't. You're interrupting these people's lives. He's with his fucking wife, and you pull your phone out. And that, and even like his, you ignore the fact that he's with his wife. Like, does Savannah want to be on the fucking your fucking phone, bro? Bitch, if you don't get the fuck from around here, no.
He's lucky Bron got to him before Savannah did, honestly.
See, that hand might have been closed, my boy.
yeah, she might. He might have caught a combo from Savannah. You know, them hands quick, bro.
Yeah, dog. It's all of it's just kind of ridiculous to me.
Did you guys see the clips of Snoop Dogg doing Olympic commentary?
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Could this, like, how much money would we need to pay Snoop to be like a, like, the idea of watching Twitch streamers and stuff, like, it doesn't really appeal to me, like live commentary and shit, but I would tune in like 3 hours a day for Snoop Dogg doing anything.
Yes. And he's commentating on any motherfucker.
I love Kevin Hart's eyes where he's like, where is this going? You know what I mean? He's trying to protect the money a little bit. He doesn't have the Kevlar vest that Snoop has, where he just gets away with anything. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like Kevin Hart's eyes, like, this is funny, but this could go anywhere. I love it. And Snoop's just comfortably saying whatever the fuck he wants, because he's fucking Snoop, nigga. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, Snoop. He was on NBC cursing and talking about busting nuts, and everyone was like, that's our Snoopy.
Yeah.
You gotta love him. You know, he's the most Teflon man to ever fucking walk this planet. He can do
soccer
no wrong,
moms
bro.
Are, you know,
no wrong.
I love him right after. You know what I mean? Like,
it's just about the 30th anniversary of the acquittal, also, which is like the fucking craziest shit ever. He's fucking, NBC's got him narrating a horse prancing, saying that he's sea walking to What's My Name.
But I think NBC figured it out, like, because I was thinking, like, to make like things like that interesting, you need really fun commentary. You know what I mean? And like, I was watching fencing. I was like, damn, like, fencing could be so much more fun if a Snoop or somebody interesting, Desus and Mero, if they were commentating. I'm watching fucking 18 hours of fencing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad they got Snoop. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's funny how you can get away with anything.
You did ask for that. That was my other thought, was you basically asked for this when you were complaining about the fencing commentary. You like literally just put someone entertaining over this shit.
Bro.
Like,
yeah. I mean, they did it. And he did exactly what he was supposed to do. You know what I mean? I love it.
FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking up new users with an epic summer games bonus. Just place your first bet of at least $10 on any summer games sport and get a $100 bonus. Bet at least $20 and you'll get a $200 bonus. That's a bonus up to $200 regardless of the outcome of the bet. To get you started, here's my pick. I'm going to just go ahead and go in heavy on the USA women's basketball team to win the gold. I think that's an absolute lock. Remember, you'll get that bonus on any summer games event. You can bet on basketball, baseball, soccer, track and field, and more, as long as you place your first bet of $10 or more before August 8th. Promotions like this are just one of the reasons why I love betting with America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, safe and secure, and it has fast payouts. You can get paid in as little as 24 hours. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app with promo code J&J. That's J ampersand J. And go for the gold today. That's promo code J ampersand J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Minimum bet $10. Max bonus $200. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. I know you guys, I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. I know you guys really love the new Isaiah Rashad album, and it's kind of turning into a special summer for music. So, you know, Tyler, what were your thoughts on the album and what we're getting to enjoy right now this summer?
It's been an amazing summer. We had Pray for Haiti by Matt Comey. You know, Call Me If You Get Lost by Tyler, the Creator. Vince Staples by Vince Staples, and The House Is Burning by Isaiah Rashad. And if you say either one of those are the album of the year, you'll get no argument from me. It's just been a ridiculously good summer for music. But that Isaiah Rashad album, man, he don't miss. That motherfucker does not miss. He's 3 for 3 with albums with me so far, with like maybe 2 or 3 total skips in his whole discography. I love the fuck out of this album. It's just so fucking good. You know, he's someone who's firmly rooted in, like, you know, that mid-90s Dirty South sound. You know what I mean? You can tell that he's paying homage to Triple Six, to UGK, to the shit that he grew up on as a kid. But he's putting his own spin on it. Yeah, he's putting his own spin on it and making it his. And it's just amazing. Like, R.I.P. Young, goddamn, how many times have I played that this weekend? It's an amazing fucking album.
I heard that shit, that song. I ran in the house and put the phone right to Rhonda's belly. I'm like, she needs to hear this immediately.
I love how you're hitting the little one, like, with all the exclusives.
Right, like, that's how I think. When you sit that the Spanish group right to the belly. Gotta hear this. You know what I mean? We getting her taste. You know what I mean? Yeah. We curating that taste early.
Getting her culture already. Hell yeah.
Rashad, like you were saying, like, three skips. I have never heard a bad Isaiah Rashad song. This goes back to SoundCloud before TDE. I remember, like, listening to him on SoundCloud, like, hella deep tracks, not a fucking bad song. The dude's taste is incredible. It's been 5 years since he's dropped an album, and this was worth every minute of the wait. You know what I mean? Like, it's the dude is just special. Like you said, he pays homage, but it still doesn't sound old. You know, he's definitely heavily rooted in the same shit that we listen to, right? But the music he makes now, it sounds like now. The dude is just special. But I mean, yeah, this could very well be album of the year. I think for me, this one and Vince Staples are probably the two best albums I've heard this year. And, you know, Tyler is right up there too. Tyler, the Creator, is up there too. But yeah, I mean, this, and then we've had this in what, a span of fucking 30 days, 32 or 33 days. Like, I mean, it's we needed this after the last year, because I mean, last year there wasn't a lot of good music, you know what I mean? So
yeah last year motherfuckers was putting
for
shit
sure,
on pause
for sure. And I get that, you know what I mean? So people getting that money now, sure. They dropping fire. I'm excited. And I was really tripping because I'm like, they keep dropping singles, like, you know what I mean? Like they were like, I was like, what, when are you gonna actually drop the album? I mean, I haven't seen an album roll out like that since maybe like fucking Project Pat dropping, you know, Getty Green or some shit. Three singles prior, four singles.
but I think there was a lot of mistrust there with TDE, because they sit on their fucking artists. And we're like, okay, you're gonna give us these two singles, then we're not gonna get the album till fucking next year. You know what I mean? So there was that too. But I mean, you know, worked out, like, you know, I heard all the singles first, and sometimes when you get the singles before the album, you're like, okay, I heard this too much, let me skip it. Not with Isaiah Rashad. I let that shit play the way
through. This whole weekend, I mean, we've been cleaning up, like I told you, like, you know, getting shit prepared and shit, put the shit on the fucking, I bought the vinyl beat. This is how good Isaiah is. I was like, I heard R.I.P. Young, bought the vinyl immediately. That's what, the fourth song on the album, fifth maybe? You know what I mean? Like, something like that. I mean, it's in the front end of the album. And Adrian said, yo, he's selling a vinyl. Cop, I already knew what time it was once I heard that shit. You know what I mean? I didn't need to hear the rest of it. And I was right. It's vinyl worthy. But like I said, him and Vince, to me, two best projects. And Vince is 20 minutes and I still can't, like, it's still perfection to me. So yeah, I love it.
Yes.
Okay, the last thing I wanted to talk about, I don't know how this happened, but Tyler changes his display name on his Twitter like once every like 3 or 4 years, bro. Like, yeah.
Yes. Currently in the America is Musty era at the moment.
For quite a while, it was Larry Beintz. And for some reason, Twitter has made that a topic the same way that like Lakers or Dodgers is a topic, and you can click it to follow it. I don't understand what, like, how did this, like, I've seen so many people tweeting at you about it. Like, what the fuck is this? Who is this dude? Why is Twitter telling me his name is Larry Beans? Like, what the fuck is happening?
I tweet so much. I became Twitter. I infiltrated the fucking algorithm. I fooled Twitter into the point that I infiltrated the infrastructure and the coding end of their shit. And now I am embedded into the fabric of Twitter. That shit's funny as fuck, though, man. Seeing that, and the funniest shit is the question is it asks, like, does this tweet relate to Larry Beyonce? Yes or no? Like, that's the funniest part about seeing that shit all the time for me. But yeah, that shit's funny as fuck, man.
Because the algorithm thinks you're the Academy Awards or whatever, so it's like, is this relevant to the topic of Larry Beyonce?
Yeah, funny shit. Y'all remember when I was out with the Brickashaw at first, right? And motherfuckers was legit quoting me thinking I was the Brickashaw Ferguson. That's why I changed my shit. Like like NFL.com quoted me on some shit. And I said nigga in the tweet. And they put that in there. I was like, oh no, the Brickashaw Ferguson ain't out here calling motherfuckers niggas, dog. Let me clarify that. I ain't trying to get that man hemmed up. But yeah, man. It's not the first time I fucking fooled.
Fucking shout out to everyone who's been following DFJ. What was it? Was it something before the Brickashaw?
Yeah, I think the Brickashaw was
when you first started blowing up on Twitter. Black people called you DFJZ, and all white people called you the Brickashaw. Straight up,
yeah, white people. Yeah. DFJZ and the Brickashaw. Fuck the Brickashaw.
That's the name.
That's the name, man. That is quite the name. It's a name,
it's
bro.
It's not even a D-E. It's D-hyphen. D apostrophe Brickashaw.
You know, we want the D and the B as close together as possible.
D Brickashaw, nigga. I love it.
Shit. All right. Well, we have to go order our blue Russ Lakers jerseys. So we got to get out of here, but we'll be back on Thursday. Thanks for fucking with us. Make sure you're checking out the show at youtube.com, The Volume, as well, for everyone who's been asking us for the video episodes. And we'll see y'all on Thursday. Bye.
Bye.